Well, hello, and welcome to Crappy Hour. I'm Ronnie, that's Ben over there. Hello, Ben.
Hello. Hello, how's it going? Hey, baddies. I see the comments in the on YouTube.
Hey, baddies. Hey, baddies.
What's going on?
What's that from? Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It's nice to see you here. We took last week off, so it's been a long time of not talking shit about this channel with each other.
I know. Because we had last week off. So, yeah. So, it's been like, our crappy hour schedule has been wonky since the beginning of June. And now I'm happy to report it's normal going forward, because we had to take a week off in June for our cabaret. And then we had to take a week off here in July. So, it's been like a little, but now, what you should have did. But we're here. We're here. It's Toyed. Special guest Toya Bush Harris. But we're back. Hello, everyone. We have already so many wonderful comments here. We missed you. Thank you, Victoria, on air. Hope you enjoyed your time away. Absolutely did. It was great and refreshing. And we just were shot out of a cannon today. I did Jeff Lewis this morning with Janet, of all people. And then we did our two shows. And then now we're here. Janet, we had Amazon. Morning. It was fine. It was fun. She made a coffee cake. She brought in a coffee cake. I was like, you minx buttering me up. But I mean, it wasn't for me. But like, I like to think everything's for me. And honestly, I'm
no
gonna
one
say
else
this.
Is going
to
eat the damn coffee cake. I mean, who ate it?
I'm going to tell you
Jameson?
One thing. It was no a damn a coffee good cake coffee Jeff cake. Lewis. This bitch can make a coffee cake. Say anything you want about Janet. You can call her the Karen of all Karens. Tell her, say whatever you want. The bitch can make a coffee cake. And don't say
that. Did you just call me a bitch at my wedding?
She really can. She said she used like a copycat Starbucks recipe. And it was like partially like yellow cake mix and partial homemade. And I'm like, I brought home a slice for Dom. I was like, this is really good. So that's the news. I know people are like, Ben, give us the dirt. I'm like, she makes a good coffee cake. That's like the classic.
The woman
Ben
makes
gossip.
A killer coffee cake. And yeah. She asked you about the crappies being nominated with Jax.
Yes. She like what she had brought up somewhere along the way about how we had nominated her with Jax and Jax and Denise's ex and who else? The other villains. Just how every guy in the category had done something like legitimate, like Lenny Hochstein. Everyone had done something like bad, like criminal,
like
or
legit.
Abusive.
Yeah, like legit. Yeah.
And then Janet got up there, and it's like, you know, I explained, you know, it's voter driven. It's a big pool, and she made the final cuts. But it's true. Like in the past, we used to have a category that was like villains and then the worst, and like Jax and all them would be in the worst and Janet would be in the villains. So I was like, you know, you're right, like you don't deserve to be on the same tier as like a Jax. But it was fun. We had a nice time.
Okay, well that's good. I'm glad
I know. Sorry, I wish I had a story about her being awful, but she was actually really nice.
No, I'm not fishing for a story about Janet being awful. I'm just asking how it went. I mean, it's day. You did stuff. I did not. So
she's like, you know, wait, are we going to become friends? I was like, probably. Sorry. But we like all the same things, unfortunately. You know, this is what happens.
You know, there's said such a thing as taking things too far.
You know, the problem is Heidi says, no, I'm going to try to be good about having a boundary on this one, though, because, you know. It's always dangerous with these Bravo celebrities. One moment they're really nice and you're like, oh my God, I actually like them. And then one moment, you never know. But it was a pleasant little time. Adrian Stephen says, never meet your heroes, Ben. Don't I know? Don't I know?
Right. Well, this week is all about, just like every time we do this, it's about Bravo headlines. But I wanted to ask you what you thought of the shows that we missed, because, you know, we were off. And thank God for Bravo, because I proved to myself that I would still be watching Bravo all the goddamn time, even if we didn't do this for work, because I love it. And every day I was like, what's on Bravo today? So, you know, of course, we're keeping up with all our shows, but that's a lot of shows. I mean, that is a lot of TV to watch when you're not taking notes or thinking about what we have to do just for enjoyment. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, Bravo really fills my life.
I know it does. I kept up on my Bravo, like honestly, voluntarily, you know, it's like, I really like these shows. I feel like, should we actually, this might be a really good time to touch on some of the stuff that we missed last week. Sort of like, you know, what were you, let's go through the week. Yeah. Well, we didn't have anything on Sunday because Atlanta took July 5th off. But I'll tell you, the one thing that we got probably the most messages about, I would wager, is what aired on July 6th. I didn't see this episode coming. I would say...
No pun intended.
I would say, you know, I know Below Deck has a lot of semen on it, but I didn't see this coming. I mean, like, jizz, this is a lot.
Yeah. You not only not saw it coming, but you didn't even see it after it came. And then you cuddled with it and slept with it. That episode was amazing and disgusting. And I just watched the episode for this week.
Yep.
Also amazing. It looks like it's keeping it up. Okay.
This is going to be, by the way, this is good. Just so everyone knows, this is not going to be a one-off. This is going to come two or three more times.
Yeah, multiple.
Everyone get ready.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
So this show, wow. So there's like a hot model guy, kind of. He's a model, right? Yeah, he's a GQ model. He wanted to ever since he was a nerdy little boy. And finally, he was on GQ or Men's Fitness or whatever. No, GQ, Men's Fitness. What's his name? I just watched
it. Luke. Bravo does Below Deck and Luke. The name Luke and Below Deck, it's a cursed name. I will say that.
That's true. This guy is cute, obviously, really tall, really built, seemingly nice. I mean, I thought, and listen, I am an asshole. Nice. I love to call people out in advance for being an asshole. And I do it probably for 90% of the people who I watch on TV. And then later I'm like, haha, I was right. They became an asshole because it's reality TV. Inevitably, people are going to become an asshole. I thought this guy's pretty nice.
I thought so too. He had some like funny little jokes in the first few episodes where he did like little voices. I was like, oh, he's like a nerd who got muscular. I love that.
What a douche. So he likes the chef, the amazing French chef, one of the best.
I was like, she already may be my favorite Bravo. I know she's not my favorite Bravo lover of the year because you have the Ladies of London, but like, she is already, especially after tonight's episode, everyone, we can't say what happens, but like, I was like, this, she is now at S tier on Below Deck. She just made it all the way up there.
Yeah, she is great. Joy. So he likes Joy because Joy feeds him, and he's 6'5" male fitness model. Like, he needs calories and protein. So she feeds him. Also, she's really cute and hilarious. So he's attracted to her. But then he kind of likes this stew too, Jen. And Jen is younger and more aggressively obnoxious and is going to pursue this man no matter. So anyway, finally, it's like kind of a love triangle. Jen seems kind of like a crazy person. Joy's like, I'm not fighting for a man. Jen ends up hooking up with the guy. They hook up in the bunk, this tiny bunk. He's huge. They're fucking really loud. Like, everybody hears them. Then he's like, I'm sweating, so get out of the bed. So he moves her to the bottom bunk. When he moved her into Nathan's bunk, I already started yelling at the TV. You don't get to just go sleep in someone else's bunk. That's so rude and gross. And also, why are you sleeping on someone else's dirty sheets? That's also gross. So she goes down there. Then he wakes up in the morning and wants more. So he goes down and she gives him a hand job on camera. And then he splooges all over the sheets. Then they get up and leave the room and he doesn't change the sheets. And then Nathan comes back from being with his baby and cuddles up next to the sperm stain for 2 days. And they circled where it was. And Nathan was literally big spooning the cum stain. He was like,
he was sleeping shirtless on his sheets. Okay. That was skin to crusty semen contact. And by the way, I could have sworn that Jen said, I'll clean those sheets. And I guess maybe Luke said something like, no, I'll do them. But so all of last episode, he's like, well, every time I tried to go clean the sheets, the machines are running. I'm like, you pull those sheets off and you throw them on the floor of that laundry room. Whatever you do, that's A, it's your boss's bed. But even if it weren't your boss's bed, it's someone's bed. And like, he just had this whole like, what am I supposed to do? And it turns out this is his whole persona, which is very Joao-like, which is like, well, I tried my best. And the episode ends with him not telling Jen, hey, look, last night was fun, but it was just like a one-off. He's like, there's no more love triangle. And she goes, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. And somehow she has these like two little braids hanging down the front of her face. And the rest of her hair is like frizzed out. Like she literally completely looks like Harley, whatever.
Her, it looked like Batman her mascara is. Or eyeliner or whatever was kind of running. She just looked, it was the craziest look she could have had for this conversation. It was one of those where he's telling us, oh, I'm completely cutting it off with her. I mean, we just saw it. We've seen it a million times, but we just saw this on a show where a guy's telling, oh, West on Summer House, where the guy's telling us, oh, she's into me, but I'm not into her. And this is, you know, this is going to be so awkward. And I hope I'm being very clear with her that this is not going to happen. But what he's telling her, he's like, well, you and I, it's been so great. And, you know, I just want to kind of take a step back. And she's like, yeah. And he's like, so there was a love triangle, but there's not anymore. So all she hears is, so you don't like the other girl anymore. You're mine. That's all she hears. Oh, my God. It's just so frustrating.
And the producers both have so clearly
deliciously not great. Like, she's obnoxious as hell, and he's just such a douchebag. The best part of it is the chef. Watching the chef react to it has been so good. And then watching how everybody else is reacting to sleeping on sperm sheets, which we'll get to later. It's like, does everybody just, is that just like a normal part of life? Like, whoops, just slept in my friend's, you know, pool of
splooge.
Yeah. What the hell?
I forgot what I was going to say, but like, they keep on giving Jen these lines. Like, they clearly gave her the arc of, you know, oh man, I'm never chosen first. So she relates everything to it. She's like, huh, wow. The love triangle is closed. It's what I finally want to hear because I'm finally being chosen first. It's like they're making her say these ridiculous things. And I'm, for a moment, I thought, is this girl like a producer plant? Like, is she just an actress that they hired for this show? But I think she is really thinks this.
Making her say it?
For a moment, I thought, because it just seemed like what she was saying just didn't even sound like natural that a human would say. It seemed like something that like was written poorly. But I think she's just saying it. But what she looks crazy, but like, I really could not tell you all how disgusted I was that splooge was there for 3 days. Not only was I disgusted, like, oh, that's gross. I actually think it's a fireable offense because like, if you have like your bodily fluid on a sheet that someone is sleeping, like with direct contact, I think that's like an extreme health violation. That's actually a workplace violation. And I actually don't know how Bravo is not responsible. Like I was just like shocked by it. And I continue to be shocked. And it continues to unfold in tonight's episode. And I just am like, it's
a biohazard.
It's terrible. It's terrible. Yeah,
you're right. I didn't even think about the part of, I can't believe Bravo's letting that happen, but I cannot. You're right. What the hell, Bravo?
Like if something were
seeing somebody like put nuclear waste all over a bed and then you're like, okay, we're just going to watch them waste away in this nuclear waste. And I know sperm isn't nuclear waste, but it can be. We don't know what's in that sperm.
I don't know what's in that. I mean, I'm sure all the cast members get tested before they come on these shows. The rumor is that like on these reality shows, everyone gets tested. But I still think that's just like at the worst, it's a biohazard. At the best, and I'm saying best with quotes, at the best, that's actually just like a sexual, like what is that? Not misconduct, but it's like if you just like have sperm on a chair in the office, that's That's literally, I believe that's illegal.
I mean, the guy's face when he was sleeping, he's like this, and the splooge is right here, you know? Oh, it was just so, so nasty. And as far as Jen, you know, Jen, she's getting a ton of shit on the internet, and she's responding too. Like, she's making videos like, oh my God, you guys. And she's, I cover my head every time because, you know, I'm an uncle. She's so young. She is so young. And I just want to go get in my, you know, like my little auntie van and go pick her up and take her around the block and just lecture her. Because we've all been that girl. I mean, I've been that girl, you know, many times. But, oh my God, it's just like, no. And just the way she's kind of competing and trying to make a competition with everybody else over this guy, or Joy specifically. And Joy's like, I'm not competing with you. What are you talking about? It's just it's so deliciously cringe. But this guy, I mean, she's being villainized, I think, more out of it because her personality is so much bigger. But this guy is just such a piece of shit.
He is. But also, like, yeah, I think that he's the bigger villain. And I think you'll actually see, everyone will see that tonight, especially. But I do think that, like, it was 90% on Luke to get those sheets cleaned. I think 10% of it was on Jen. I think that Jen, like, she should have recognized that this is something that was going to be bad for both of them. And, like, for all parties involved. And, like, just as a decent human to other human, knowing that Luke was being irresponsible and had not cleaned those sheets yet, if you're going by, at least be like, you know what? Let me just take those sheets off and put them on the floor here. Like, I don't know. It's like, it's not on her because he said he would do it. But also, like, don't you have, like, if you know that there's someone who's about to sleep in those sheets and you're like, you're not doing it because someone else said that they would, I just feel like that's, you're just being a bad person at that point.
True. And she's a stew.
So and she's actually, a stew. Like, you're literally trained for this.
I would slide the 90% number, you know, I would make it more like 60-40. And she's claiming that she's a cheap stew.
Like, she's claiming that
she's, and you're the one who slept in someone else's bunk. Even if he told you to, you're a stew and you went to sleep in someone else's bunk. That is disgusting, first of all. And then you gave someone, the guy came. You know, they're both responsible.
How do you not strip the bed off in that very moment? The moment that you get off that bed, how do you not just pull that bed, those sheets, and then chuck them into the washer?
I don't even sleep on my own spermy sheets. Okay. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. It's like, just strip. Well, like, okay. Debbie here in the comments says, just strip the sheets. Like, that's literally all you have to do. Okay.
Strip them, like, because you don't, it's not like there's only one set of sheets. They keep acting like, well, the laundry wasn't even open. Who cares if the laundry was open? Put them over there anyway and get a bag. Sheet out of the closet. I mean, come on.
Everyone knows what to do. It's like, it's this helplessness that Luke keeps on, you're presenting, like, well, I tried my best, but I couldn't do it. He's like, you are not helpless. You're lazy. You're lazy. Put the effort that you put into chasing women and building your arms into stripping the splooge off of your boss's bed. And on top of that, it's your boss. Aside from the fact that it's another human, it's your boss. Like, what?
Even if your boss is wrong with you, you know?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So yeah, the next one up was McBee Dynasty. Now, you had watched this one a little bit before. I watched it. You didn't prepare me for how infuriated I would be. I thought Jesse McBee was, like, so nice, and his little smile's always got this little smile, and, you know, his brothers are always shitheads, but he's just kind of like this little smile, like, hapless guy. Oh my God, I'm such an idiot. I don't know.
He's a dick. They're all dicks.
What a little asshole. So this scene, he goes to dinner with Allie for a romantic dinner because they're not having sex, and, you know, they're, like, distant, and they've had a baby, and so they're going to have this romantic dinner, and I'm guessing he picks the fancy ass restaurant. So they go to this fancy steakhouse or whatever, and she's looking at the menu, and she's like, wow, are we going to share something? And he's like, why? She says, because it's kind of expensive. And he's like, you're working a lot. And then I started yelling. I was like, no, because, like, I believed in you. And then the waiter comes over, and the waiter's like, what do you have? And he goes, I'll have the filet experience. He didn't own, he ordered the most expensive thing on the menu and ordered the experience. That's probably for like five people. I, at that moment, he died in my mind. I went to a funeral for him in my mind. You know, Casey from Bitch Sesh, we took a picture of this guy and I keep mentioning it on the show. Like, send me that picture, Casey. God damn it. I don't even want it. Keep it. Delete it off your phone. I never want to see it.
Yeah, no, he's just a dick like all the rest of them. And did you see the thing that people were talking about last week? I guess amongst these text messages that had leaked or were put out, he said that the whole family was quitting the show because the Bravo fans are bullying them too much. Did you see that?
I think that was, you're saying Steve Jr.
Steve Jr. was saying that.
Yeah, Steve Jr. He's like, oh, this is the bully. Everyone's bullying us. This is our last go around. No one, Steven, you are not leaving TV. Please, you were on that Millionaire Farmer show or whatever. Then this one. Then you hired a girlfriend for the next season. I mean,
yeah,
you're desperate.
And you want us to believe that you're so thin-skinned, you're such a snowflake that you can't deal with some Bravo criticism. Hello, you're on Bravo. This is part of the deal. You go on there, you put on a show, and then our whole community comes after you. That's just what we do. Okay, Janet's still standing. Janet's making coffee cakes. She's like, come at me. I'll make you a coffee cake. And you're like, I gotta quit. Like, enough out of you, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I'll hand it to that one. She's got some strength. You know, she's got some very thick skin. He's such a baby. Have you been? Oh, by the way, what?
I was going to say, Savannah here in the comments says, Peacock won't let me remove McBee from my continue watching. And I'm like, I agree. It drives me nuts that I log on to Peacock to watch Love Island. And instead of having Love Island on the first page there, it like has me preset to McBee Dynasty. And then I have to scroll through the carousel to find Love Island. I was like, what is this cruel torture you're doing to me? I'm not Peacock watching McBee Dynasty.
Yeah, Peacock needs to work on that app because I've been watching it all week. Well, I mean, I always watch it. But this week has been Love Island, and Love Island's every day. And if you're not caught up with Love Island, you know, you're watching a part because it's an hour and a half or 2 hours. You're watching a part, then coming back later. It never remembers between devices where I am, or it'll start playing the wrong episode
always.
Yeah,
you know what I hate about the Peacock app?
And then at
the
end of Love Island, it puts on Married at First Sight. Are you fucking crazy? No, absolutely not. Not Married at the 20th Sight. I don't want you.
You know what I hate? You're like, jazz hands. I hate when you go on to Peacock.
Jazz handy today.
I hate when you go on to Peacock. Please tell me. Please write a comment here. Tell me if this happens to you and it drives you nuts. Because this happens also on, I think, on Hulu, but it happens on Peacock. Okay, you click on Love Island, or maybe it's the Traitors, whatever it is. You click on in the front, okay? And you say, I want to watch episodes. So it takes you to the episode list. And what happens is the thing scrolls up. And now you have like a list of seasons on the left and a list of episodes on the right. So you hit down to go to the episode you want to look at. But it sends you to the episode, but it takes you to the seasons list. And then all of a sudden you're at season 7. So then you hit up and then suddenly you're in the episodes. It's like my cursor is never where I want it to be. Or sometimes when I hit like Love Island, it takes me to the two lists and I hit, okay, send me, like I'm like moved to the right over to where the episodes are. But then it just takes me over to like McBee Dynasty because the cursor is still up on the show level with the show carousel and not on the episode list. Does this happen to anyone else? Does this absolutely drive them nuts? It should be that the episodes are directly under the show carousel. So that way when you hit the show, it brings up all the episodes and you just keep hitting down and you just go to the episode. It's so confusing. Why do they put us at this weird fork when we never know where the cursor is or where it's going? You guys all feel me. Look, everyone's here. Everyone's like, yes, 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 yes. Yeah. Everyone knows. And let me tell you something, HBO Max, you're not exempt either, because when those House of the Dragons episodes end, the credits come up and it makes the screen small. You have about 3 seconds to like make the screen big again to see the previews. And the thing is that you start moving your cursor and it's like, who knows where it is on the screen? And it's like a video game trying to get it over to the screen in time. And if you don't do it in time, it's like, congratulations. Now you're watching something else on HBO.
And I wonder if the people at HBO are like, I wonder why no one's watching the After the Dragons thing where they interview the cast. And it's because you guys keep cutting it off 2 seconds after the credits roll. You wouldn't even know that's there unless you were like, wait a second, this said it was going to be an hour and 15 minutes and it's only an hour. What the hell? And go to extras. It used to, anyway, apps.
You know what I also hate? You know what I also hate? So let's say you're watching Love Island and you're like 5 minutes in and then you've got to step away and you come back like an hour later. Now Peacock thinks you've watched it. So you go to like watch Love Island and it's like, watch season 8, episode 1. I'm like, I'm on episode 40. And you have to.
Someone just said it in the comments. The thing they'll say, okay, here's our most popular shows. Love Island, whatever. You click Love Island because I've been watching that literally for 20 hours this week. And then it takes me to episode 1. So that then it keeps going. So, you want to continue? And then they're like, this season on Love Island. Like,
no. Oh,
And I watch the plane fly overhead over and over until I realize.
You love me. What you have to do is scroll down to season 7 and then you have to go to episode 1 and then you have to go up because that takes you to the latest episode of Love Island season 8. It's like literally so annoying. Everyone knows that whole thing. But yeah, that's like, I felt so good to get that off my chest. How do you like that? If you love me. I love they play that song so much, but does anyone actually know what that song is? Who sings it? What's it called? Where do you hear it?
I don't know,
it?
But I love the ballad version at the end of Love Island finale. They're like, if you love.
I know.
Me, say it like you really do.
I'm still laughing. Did this happen over break or did this happen when we were still beforehand? I'm still laughing. I think it was during break. They were doing an elimination. And, you know, they always do like the very slow covers and they're like, okay, and now it's down to Corbin and Parmita and Kenzie and Dylan, etc. And then you hear it on the soundtrack. It's like, oh, think twice. Just another day for you and me in paradise. I'm like, that song is about a homeless lady. It's about homelessness. Why are you doing this slow version of Another Day in Paradise? It's like, we are the world. We are the children. That's about famine. Stop.
I know. Or they'll take off one word of the song to make it make sense. So they'd be like, we are the world. We are the... Dun, 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 you know, and they'll just continue it like the song. That's not what the song is. Those aren't even the lyrics of the song. You can't just butcher the songs, you guys.
I know. I feel like next season, there'll be someone. Let me tell you something. If Melanie from Philadelphia, if she were ever in True Danger this season, I guarantee they would have done like a version of like the streets of Philadelphia. It's like, that's about AIDS. They just don't seem to ever know the greater context of these songs.
Candy shop. We're going to the candy shop.
You finally got to see how dull that episode was. They all went to some like dreary old hotel somewhere in Kansas City, and then what's her face, like, they got like their nails done in the basement of this hotel. Like, it looked like a basement, looked like a rec room. And then they're like, oh hey, what's her name again? I was Casey. Like, hey, Casey, we're going to go to dinner. You go ahead and we'll meet you in the restaurant. And she's so dumb. She doesn't even think twice about like, oh, this could be a setup. She's like, okay, I'll do that. So then she goes out of the hotel. It's like cold and rainy outside. And she walks out and she's like, ugh. And then there's Cole McBee standing there with Blair amongst a bunch of like, was it balloons or...
I love whenever you say Blair, it's like it's a baby and you're like, Blair.
And so he's like holding Blair. And then like there's like shit everywhere. It was a flower petals. And then she comes out, she's like, oh my God. And then he's like, you know, he does his little mouth. He's like,
Casey, it would be the dream of my lifetime.
He's more like this, one of these things.
If you would be my wife.
And then they have to like put down Blair because Blair's too heavy for both of them because they're both handing Blair back and forth. So finally they put Blair down and Blair's just eating rose petals. And I'm like, that kid's going to throw up, guys. Hurry this up.
Eating rose petals. It just cuts to Blair
eating glue sticks.
Can we get
like sipping from a bottle of gasoline? Like,
what? Can we get some Epicoc for Blair?
Jeez. So have you been keeping up with the McBee goss? Of course you haven't, but the show is just so, there's so much trash and juicy stuff going on this show, off the show. So first up, there was the girlfriend, Allie, who, I mean, is so obnoxious. And of course, yeah. In a fight between Steve McBee Jr. and Allie, I'm going to choose Allie. Of course, that guy's a toxic idiot asshole. But people were coming after her. Or I think Casey, somebody posted that Allie barely started dating him. Then he asked her to come film the show and she refused to come do it until she had a contract. And they were posting this like, ew, what a user. She would only come on the show if she had a contract. And then the comments were flaming them like, why are you liking this post? It's just showing that this girl is smarter than everybody on this show for actually caring about a bag and like coming on and making a living. Like, why are you going to shame Allie for it? Right. So first there was all of that stuff that I was loving reading the comments of. So then Casey mentioned Calla on the show. She's like, oh, this girl's way nicer than Calla. She made some comment about Calla. So Calla posts, I was always nice to Casey.
Another voice. What, sorry, I was trying to do an Arrested Development quote. You just keep going.
Oh, God, it's a banana. How much could it be? $10? So Calla posts on Insta and she says, I was always nice to Casey. She's just mad I told everyone her secret about being pregnant. She said it was Cole's, but it wasn't. Got an abortion at 5 months pregnant because Christy got a paternity test and it wasn't his, LOL. Please keep talking shit so I can feel better about spilling everything. Been holding off too long out of respect, but y'all can't keep my name out of your mouth.
See, you have to do that on camera, Calla, so that way this show becomes interesting. Do it on camera. Don't wait.
Oh, Calla. Yeah. Oh, she would have. Calla had no problem doing shit on camera. That's why I liked Calla. She'd let them all have it. And that's why they all hate her. And now that they've got crazy. This other Allie lady on the show, now they're kissing her ass because she's kissing their ass. And she's totally... they're obviously to be on TV, but who isn't, you know?
Well, did, and yes, I mean, do you Calla. Believe what, do you believe what
Calla, Calla Stan from way back? You go,
Calisthenics.
You
go get him, Calla. Yeah. Do you believe Calla? You know what? I'm not even going to ask if I was like, it's like,
yes.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I do believe, of course I do believe, I still believe Calla gone too soon. Gone too soon. R.I.P. Calla. We will always miss you.
I believe the are our future.
The city. Calla. In the city, going from Missouri to the city. In the city, this was a good episode too. The gang went on their big trip for the season. So they went from New York City. A very exotic place. They went all the way to the exotic climes of Litchfield County, Connecticut. They're like, well, they're like, you know, this show is sort of built on going to waspy locations. So let's go to Connecticut.
Season one. It's a season one-er. You know,
it was a good episode.
Trip. You know, it's a $5. It's a $5 budget. But yeah, it was a very good episode. I was impressed.
Yeah, it was really good because... Well, first you had a stupid paintball moment, which whatever. But then they all go up to this house in Connecticut. The idea is that this will smooth things over because Yvonne was really mad that they were fighting and yelling at like her umpteenth wedding celebration. So they go to this house. And so Kenny is such an underminer. He knows exactly what he's doing. So he makes, without asking, running it by Lindsay, his co-host, he just kind of floats it to Yvonne, like, I feel so bad about what happened at your wedding dinner that I think you should have the primary bedroom. But the thing is, at that point, Lindsay and Regina had already claimed the primary because they're like, we're the moms. So they play the mom card, which I actually think is like a fair use of the mom card in this situation. And so then now it winds up where Yvonne is like excited for this make good on the dinner party that they had. But like she, but now Lindsay looks like the bad guy for not letting Yvonne have the bedroom. But then also like it makes Yvonne look bad. It's like Lindsay's like, what the fuck? Like I planned this trip and I'm like the ranking senior here of our reality stars. So like, what the fuck are you doing? So it becomes a whole classic Real Housewives type fight.
Well, it's very summer house bitterness with, I don't know, bitterness, but it's probably really annoying to Lindsay that summer house every single season, Amanda and Kyle take the master bedroom because they're a couple. And that's been their excuse to get away with it for a decade. And then finally, they're not a couple. So Lindsay's like, okay, well, I planned this trip. I'm going to take it. By the way, it's not some glamorous room with like two beds where there'll be luxurious. You're still sleeping in a bed with your friend and sharing a bathroom with your friend. It's not like this great luxury anyway that everybody's so incensed with Lindsay over. So they're like, we're going to take, you guys don't get the room. And doesn't, it's not even a fight really, right?
Did Lindsay it's just like a passive aggressive mounting, you know, of tension. Where Lindsay's so like,
this is my room.
You know,
so ding dong Whitney goes and she's like, you know, they need to stop playing the mom card, which of course Georgina immediately goes to repeat to Lindsay. Well, because no
it's not Georgina. Lindsay. It's not Georgina. It's Lexi. Lexi is like,
oh, Lexi.
I've never felt like she ever did the mom card. So then she goes right over to Georgina and she's like, she's saying that you played the mom card. And Georgina's like, what? And then Lindsay's like, mom.
Right, as if, by the way, they were both playing it. Lindsay and Georgina were both playing it, right?
As if Whitney will not be the very first to not only play the mom card, but get the oversized version from like CVS. Okay, she will be playing that mom card so hard, like it's just, it's all over Whitney. That if she ever does have a mom card, she will play Whitney, it. And if she doesn't have it, she will play every card. You know she will.
It's It's going to be fed into our FYP pages every day with Whitney and this boring little baby. Like, I'm a mom. We know, you know. And I think that moms are, I think you're allowed to play that card. If you go on a trip and you're like, we have we have multiple tiny children screaming in our faces all day. Sounds good to me. Go for it. You know, especially on a show where there's so many couples. It's like, okay, you guys are all in a couple. That's the luxury, is not having to take care of these little fuckers mostly alone. So I win the room. So I kind of like that switch.
Personally, if it were me, there was like one room that had it was a single bed that was a twin bed. I'd have just taken that. I'd be like, I'm just going to be alone closing that door. I would rather have a small room and be alone than having to share it and have, like, I just give me my alone time, you know?
Yeah. Or even two twins, you know, the one with two twin beds that Kyle and Amanda had to take. And Amanda's like, oh my God, like I'm in this room with my husband and I can't, you know, whatever. I would have taken that room. That room looked like the most luxurious to me. But that was a good episode. But I wanted to read you this because Georgina posted. Because they went to paintball before this and it was wacky and then they went on this drive. So Georgina said at paintball, at paintball, Kenny told Lindsay that since the two of them were hosts, they would get the first pick of rooms. In the car before that, Kenny suggested Yvonne and Nick take the primary. C. Two totally different plans, the latter of which was never discussed with Lindsay. The opposite, in fact, was said to her. See point A above. D.
Yeah.
Sounds like a setup to me. E. 100%. I love the alphabet.
G. My son just realized that the poop in his diaper is actually just crumbled up Oreo. He's on to me. So this was just classic Kenny being an underminer. Speaking of poop, etc., in the middle of this entire episode, Kyle stops everything to make an announcement, which is that he OD'd on Metamucil. He took four times the recommended amounts and he gave himself an anal fissure, and so he had to like soak in a bathtub.
No one needs to hear that, Kyle. You know, it's just like too much. He's a big proponent of you gotta put everything out there. We're on reality. Not everything. And while we're speaking of putting everything out there, Lindsay totally outed him at the dinner for having multiple affairs. Because, of course, the group dinner on the vacation has to be Amanda and Kyle. And who started it? Gavin. My favorite little mess on that show. He's like the male Lindsay. He will start it. He'll take whatever's going on, bring it up. But the thing is, all he did was bring it up, and then Amanda and Kyle just go. They start going, and Amanda's, it's the same thing as we've seen a million times. He's going to be a DJ now. He got some gigs. Amanda's super upset, and she's officially going to be done with the marriage now because Kyle, you know, is going to be a successful DJ. And she starts crying and having this big fit, and she leaves, and Lindsay's standing up for her. And she's like, whatever. Why is this always Amanda's fault? I mean, Kyle's had multiple affairs, and they keep, you know, and she keeps forgiving him, and they're like, multiple. And she's like, yeah, we just don't talk about it. Oh, but we have to sit here and listen to Kyle talk about his logs and his bleeding butthole. Why can't he talk about the affairs that he never remembers? Yeah.
So Lindsay outs this because at this point, Kyle, like, at this place where they think the edit is that Kyle is just being a terrible husband and negligent, and Amanda has been crying out for help and just wants him to stop drinking. So that's why Lindsay's like, fine, I'm going to pull out some big guns here, you know, not realizing that this was going to ultimately backfire in her face because Amanda would be the one who would prove to be the villain. But Andrea's like, well, Lizzie, now that you're married, you're a married man. You can't go out as much anymore as a married man. You can't do that. And Kyle's like, as a married man, like, why do you keep on saying married man? It's like, well, as a married man, it's like, stop saying that, man. Stop saying that. And Kyle loses his shit.
I kind of like that, though, because I don't like when... And Kyle made a good point against Andrea. He's like, stop with this. Oh, when you're married, I've been married 10 years. You've been married for like 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Give me a fucking break. He's like, get back to me when the honeymoon's over.
Yeah, seriously. Although he's been married only for like 3 years. But he did say, I've got 10 years on you. He's like, I got 10 years on you.
Well, yeah. You're right.
But still.
That he hasn't actually been married 10. But, I mean, hey.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
The good news is that Lindsay and Yvonne patch things up because Yvonne's like, can you not admit that you were just out of pocket at my dinner? She's like, what? Because I was defending myself. She's like, no, because I have put in a lot of time and like you weren't even defending me. He's like, oh, really? So now I've got to defend you. It's like, because I was like really upset and you weren't helping. Well, I'm sorry. Was that like a serious apology?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, thanks.
I mean, listen, I'm always toxically on Lindsay's side with stuff like this. I'm on her side against Yvonne. I think Yvonne was being a total wuss. Yvonne's been married. She's had multiple as Lindsay pointed out, I like that Lindsay was like, I'm sorry that, you know, everything didn't go perfect on your umpteenth. Yeah. Your upteenth celebration. We've had like 30,000 celebrations for you, lady. And this was on TV on the show that I brought you onto. She didn't say all that, but that's what I was saying back to the TV.
Lindsay's been on fire within the city. I think she's been so funny, and she's been just like, I think she's been just reading people left and right. I do think Yvonne has definitely been taking a victory lap with this whole like wedding situation. But like, if you guys are best friends and she did plan a dinner and she's like, you were so busy doing this other stuff, you weren't even defending me. I think Lindsay is allowed, should say, you know, you're right. I could have been a better friend to you, but also blah, 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 blah. And she sort of got there. And I think Yvonne just was like, okay, this is the best I'm going to get out of her. I can't do any better.
But
I think
Lindsay was so making funny. At her as Yvonne was doing this whole like, but you're supposed to be my friend. And that was my wedding. And the look that Lindsay had on her face was like this controlled rage. And I was taking it very much as, here we go. I bring you on to a TV show. And the first thing I probably made you promise me was not to turn on me for fucking TV time. And here you are trying to start shit with me for TV time. That's how I took it. She did not say that, but that's how I would feel if I was Lindsay. Like, what the hell, lady? You like, you know, I think we're seeing it with Shamia and Portia too. It's kind of what we're talking about on that show. Where it's like, oh my gosh, this is what happens on reality TV. And the first thing you do in the first season is try and make this into a fight with me. Come on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lindsay definitely has been having, like, she has been making a feast of this. She has been going nuts on Threads. Like, I went on the other day and she's like, oh, with everything. Like, since the whole, like, Wes and Amanda thing happened, she is, because, you know, Sierra really exploded on Threads. And I think Lindsay's like, I'm going to do it too. And I, like, went on the other day and she's like, if you talk about someone every single day and not just chatter, but you, like, really go at them every single day, it's called cyberbullying. I was like, oh, Lindsay is just... She is having a field day with Threads, right? Like, every day she has some announcement. And guess what? I love it. Like, just bring it on. She's doing such a good job. This would be a good time to mention that 2 hours ago, even though it was pretty much confirmed, Bravo did confirm that the returning cast for Summer House that's already filming is, of course, Kyle, Carl, Lindsay, Jesse, Sierra, Bailey, Mia, KJ, and I think it's just the eight of them are the ones who are guaranteed, and not me, of course. Sorry, everyone, won't be there.
Oh yeah, Ben was named in an article. He's not coming back. It said Ben Mandelker won't be coming back, which was a huge shame.
They said I did not connect with the cast. I was like, wow.
That Lindsay coming out and saying, "Hey, you're a bully." That was to Queens of Bravo, I think, because Queens of Bravo is always posting stuff about her. But then the comments or the replies or whatever were like, "Well, what about you coming after Amanda every day, or whoever you don't like coming after them every day?" And then the argument is like, "Well, that's, you know, the plot of a TV show, and that's someone she actually knows, and it's different than just being some rando on the internet." I don't know. Yeah. I'm usually on Lindsay's side on the show, but not as much on internet.
I just think it's funny. I hear her Threads things in her voice, and I always think that's funny. It's like Corbin from Love Island. He had an interview with Variety, and the entire interview I just heard his voice the entire time. He's because they're like, "What did you think about being on Love Island?" And he literally answers like, "Well, shit." I just, like, even in his answers, he's so Corbin. Like that was dead crazy.
Dead ass.
Parmita's got something special. Like, shit.
Let me be honest with you. That's what he says that all the time, and sincere. It's like, to be honest with you, before he lies his fucking face off.
I know. I can't wait for Sincere's exit interviews. It's like, well, I've done a lot of like thinking and introspection, and I've learned a lot. It's kind of like when you go to a cheesecake factory and you can get like a poke bowl, but also a cheesecake, and you can get both. But like, you learn from the poke bowl before you have the cheesecake. But I'm a wiser man now. Like, shut up, Sincere. Like,
if you're playing cards and then you have like a deck of cards, but then you like pull out a baseball and then you like put down the baseball, are you still even playing cards?
Melanie is like, I'm gonna follow my heart. I love that Melanie, when she like gets emotional, she clenches her mouth. She's like, I don't care what anyone says, I'm gonna follow my heart. And her mom is like, why wait for him to have a second chance when so many are waiting for their first? I was like, oh, so great.
That was gold. The mom. And then the dad, Sincere's dad, coming on and just telling him off and letting him have it for the entire hour was pretty good. Or the entire 2 hours was pretty great, too. Okay, great. So after in the valley, what else did we have?
The valley.
The valley. We're still on this trip.
So obviously,
this is the longest friend vacation of all time.
Please. I know. I love it.
Just go home. All of you.
Obviously, Janet has a very powerful scene where she shares about, you know, experiences that, you know, sexual assault experiences that traumatize her, that actually really inform a lot of her reactions. But in terms of the quote unquote lighter stuff on the show, the big thing that happens is that it's Danny's birthday. Let's go. And he, they're all at the beach at this Miami Vice themed, you know, party. Who is the person that he goes up to? Does he go up to Jasmine? He goes up to Jasmine and is like, he starts asking about, I think it's Jasmine. You guys help me. He basically starts asking questions about like what the group is saying about him and the drinking, et cetera, et cetera. And it turns into another big fight about the drinking. And then he starts getting mad that, like, everything always has to turn into this. It's like, bro, you were the one who brought it up. Okay. Whoever it was that you brought it up to, you were the one who started this.
Well, at the gay bar.
It was Michelle.
At the gay bar for Zach's party, Nia was like, don't move your hips, Daniel, because you're going to upset people. You're going to make them uncomfortable. So then he wastedly there is like, I can't even get drunk anymore around these people. What am I going to make you uncomfortable? It was disgusting in that whole fucking episode. And then he shows up and starts it again. Danny, no one would be talking about it if you didn't go around to every single person demanding an apology. You don't deserve an apology. Like, what are you talking about?
You're making it like a thing. And he's complaining. And then he's like all angry that people are bringing it up, which he was the one who brought it up, because he basically said to Michelle, like, I heard that you got that apparently I make everyone uncomfortable. She's like, no, I'm just saying that when you drink, you make people uncomfortable. So then he starts like getting all like petulant about it. And then Lala's like, what's wrong, Danny? Why are you saying this? And he's like, oh, whatever this bullshit. And she's like, don't talk to me like that. I ain't your wife.
And I'm not the bitch. I'm not that bitch. I'm not the one to come to. So she's starting. And by the way, he's sitting down with mostly the guys, right? Bitching to them. Like, everyone's saying I make them uncomfortable. And then Lala just comes and sits down and starts it with him and has it out, yeah. Which I loved. So then she puts him in his place pretty well. You know, Lala's great when she's aimed at somebody you don't like.
Yeah, she was,
you know, because she's nonstop.
Did she call him like a Polly Pocket fucking bitch or something?
Yes. So she goes after him and reads him for filth. And then Nia keeps,
Daniel, don't come on, Daniel, oh go to bed. He's like, no.
So and then annoying. He keeps going, and he's wasted and belligerent also, just making everybody's point again for another episode in the row.
Exactly. And she sort of is like right in his face. Like she comes like around, he's sitting in a chair and she like comes around and she's like putting her face in front of his face. And she goes,
Daniel, can you look at your wife? Can you look at your wife? Can you focus on your wife? He's like, but they're saying all these things about me. Can we not focus what they're saying? Can you focus on what your wife is saying? Daniel.
I'm like, just bring him a juice, like a sippy cup, bring him like a juice box or whatever. Like she was actually treating him like a literal 6-year-old, which he was being a 6-year-old, but I was also like, this is such a fucked up like relationship dynamic that she comes in, she steps into a mother role with him, and then he's just like I felt like he should have had like one of those little hats with the propellers on it, right? Like it was just so bizarre to watch this dynamic.
Yeah, it's pretty rough going. And then he walks off. And then Lala come, you know, he's still bitching or whatever. And Lala hears him to come fight with him. So they're like this. And then Nia stands in between them so that Lala can't talk to Danny. Look, yeah, I know that like, Nia's trying to protect this guy from looking like a drunk, abusive asshole on TV, but too late already. And it's been the whole entire season of him acting like this. And you're the one who went up to him at the gay bar and was like, you're making everyone uncomfortable, Daniel.
Yeah.
What I mean? It's like she's kind of like poking him and then being like, Daniel. It's pretty fucked. The whole dynamic is pretty fucked.
Well, the hips thing, too, is like no one was saying about the hips, right? And when Ray was on the show, she made such a great point about like all they can see is uncomfortability in terms of like sexual. And it's like, it's not just that. It's that you're just acting in ways that are so deeply annoying. And what was so funny is that like Nia goes up, she leaves him and he stays there at the bar. He's like, it's my birthday. And he's crying because he's like, I was just looking forward to like end of the night and walking up to the room with my wife and having an intimate moment. I was really looking forward to that moment. It's not gonna happen. I was like, you're crying because you're not having sex tonight. That's what you're doing right now. Like,
oh God,
shallow motherfucker.
And she's like sitting there, she's got the baby, she's got this baby that's still latched to her, and he's like, what about the birthday shakes earlier? And she's like, oh God, I don't know, the baby's in the room, we shouldn't do that in front of the baby. He goes, you can make an adjustment or something. He says something. He's just so chillingly disgusting, this guy. I thought Jasmine was great in this one, too, when she said, you know, this Danny, it's like It's not even the sexual stuff at this point. Like, it's how you talk to women. It's how you're approaching women. He's like getting in everybody, in all these women's faces and confronting. What are you doing? What are you doing? Yeah. How stupid are you at this point? I don't know. That show is still one of the most frustrating for me to watch. It's, as I said earlier on this season, I feel like this show is just making us watch guys act abusively towards their wives. And I don't like it. It's like you got rid of Jax doing that shit, and now we have Danny doing that shit. And like, I don't find it entertaining. I can't. No.
Well, there's two more episodes, and then probably three reunions. So get ready. Maybe two reunions. I don't know, but like, it's gonna be with us for at least four more weeks.
Oh my God. And then Kristen and Luke on the boat. Kristen comes up and she's like,
oh so- God. Well, this is Jesse's drunk. Fault too. By Jesse, the way, this well, is Jesse's yeah, Jesse, fault. Jesse would have been a real dick,
as usual. Jesse's getting off very easy this season, I think, because of things going on with everybody else. But yeah, Jesse's still gross.
Well, because he goes up to Kristen and says, "By the way, is everything okay? Because I spoke with Luke last night, and Luke said he doesn't see himself marrying you." And it's like, why would you say that? Like, why would you butt in like that? And also, you don't know it's so, you know, they are struggling so hard and they seem to be having a good day. Why would you do that?
Yeah. So then, of course, Kristen goes up on this boat and Luke's drunk and he's lying down. And Kristen's like, you don't see yourself with me? And then Luke, because Luke is an idiot as well, is like, well, I wouldn't marry you tomorrow. I mean, with everything we've got going on, why what? So then Kristen gets, oh my God, this is like,
well, he said something very callous. He said something callous along the lines of like, well, apparently I'm not allowed to have any emotions if you're the only one here who's allowed to have emotions, something like that. And he's like, sorry, that was dick. And Kristen's like, it's fine. Like, he already gave Kristen what she needed so that way she could look out the side of the boat like, oh, caca. So he's like, okay, I'm going to walk away.
Caca. Yeah, that whole show. So what's the last one? OC?
The last one, well, we recapped OC. Someone in the comments wanted us to talk about last week's House of the Dragons. I'm loving this season. And I will say what I really liked about, not last night's, because we'll talk about that tomorrow, but last week's. I liked that it was just a big old administrative episode. I love those Game of Thrones episodes where they're just walking around King's Landing, dealing with the small folk, and like, my sheep, I need money for my sheep. And then someone else is like, we're out of candles. Well, this is a priority. We're out of candles. And I'm like, I love that shit. I love when it's just like, ugh, like have to deal with all this. Like, it's like Judge Judy. It's like the Judge Judy episode where like everyone has to like make their appeals. And like, I really dig those episodes more so than the sweeping epic things sometimes. So I loved
classic Game of Thrones, where someone finally gets the power that they've been fighting so hard for. And then they get there and they realize this sucks. Like, you're now the leader of all these people who are just bugging you over the dumbest shit. You know, well, I mean,
and she was on hunger, her period the first day,
you know,
yeah,
is not, you know, nothing, but yeah. And then, yeah, she has her period on the very first day.
She's like, oh, and then first the rats ever come as queen. Into
the castle. You know, there's rats that everywhere was because Aegon killed all the rat catchers. So there's no rat catchers left.
But then she served the rats as like a meal. As like, guess what, rich to people?
Yeah.
You now have to give us money. I enjoyed it. I think that this season of House of the Dragon is like really working for me because it feels very multidimensional for the first time. It feels like there's like lots of different things happening, different places that are all intertwining. It's not as like two-dimensional. So I'm all about it. And let me tell you something. I've never identified more with the show than when that guy was like, we're out of candles. What do we do if we don't have any candles? There's a candle shortage. We need tallow. It's like,
we need tallow. It's like the McBees this week. Yanks.
McBee tallow for King's Landing.
The tallow episode is on tonight for McBee and Yanks.
Oh, can't wait.
So that covers the week of that. We are going to finish the audio version of this now and chat with a few of you guys on video. So if you want to chat with us on video, just stay here on YouTube. For everybody on Instagram and on audio, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you in another couple of weeks and join us on the regular podcast every day, of course.
Boing.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call. Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She gets an A from us. It's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kissarino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.